Heavenly Father, open our ears and hearts and minds to your word, that we might live in the expectation of the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the beginning of the Christian liturgical year, the first Sunday in Advent. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming. The Greek word is parousia, a word which is often used to refer to the second coming of Christ. Going back to at least the 6th century, the season of Advent has been a season of preparation and waiting for Christians. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, a French abbot and founder of the Cistercian order, who died in 1153, taught that in Advent we participate in three different comings. The first coming is that we remember the many centuries of the Old Testament's longing and waiting for the birth of the Messiah. Bernard called this the coming in the flesh in Bethlehem. Bernard of Clairvaux identified another coming as the coming of the Christ into our hearts daily, as throughout Advent we prepare for the celebration of his birth on the great feast of Christmas. And Bernard identified a third kind of Advent waiting, as this is the season that we recall that we, the people of the new covenant, are called to stay alert and live in the expectation of the second coming of Christ when he returns in glory at the end and consummation of time and history. So to recap, in Advent, first we remember the long centuries of Israel's prophecies and longing for the coming of the Messiah. And two, we open our hearts for his coming into our lives as we prepare for Christmas. And three, we are reminded to stay alert and expectant for his second coming in glory, when we and all creation will be brought fully into his presence. Now, as people of the New Covenant, there are things that we know and things that we don't know. We know that the Messiah, God's chosen one, was born into history and full humanity about 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. We also know the date of our traditional, and that's traditional in the Western Church, our traditional and annual celebration of that birth, which is December 25th. But we have no idea of when the second coming of Christ will take place. As we just heard in Mark 13, verse 32, Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, there is a kind of Advent subset to our waiting for the second coming. This subset has to do with signs of the ending of ages, which will take place throughout history. These signs tell us that we are getting closer to that final coming of Christ, even if they don't tell us when that final day will occur. We see this in Mark 13, where Jesus prophesies the destruction of the temple and states that it will take place within the generation of his listeners. The destruction of the temple will be the end of an age, a profound transition in history that points to the movement of time and the approach of the parousia, the second coming. Every generation is called on to be alert to such transitions, and there have been numerous ends of the ages throughout history. The destruction of the temple is the most important one, of course, but other ends of ages can be discerned in events such as the sack of Rome, which took place during the lifetime of St. Augustine of Hippo, and that was the end of an age. Or the Black Death of the 14th century, the bubonic plague which killed a huge percentage of the people of Europe and brought the High Middle Ages to an end. There's many others that could be mentioned, but getting closer in time, the First World War, which sounded the death knell of imperial Europe. Or the collapse of the Iron Curtain in the late 20th century, there was a transition, there was an end of an age, and most of us live to see that. And in our own time right now, well, there are signs that we would do well to pay attention to. For example, the proliferation of nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula, or the growth of terrorism throughout the world, and perhaps most significantly, the phenomenon of climate change. Regent College Professor Lauren Wilkinson underscores the present threat to the creation when he writes, "The oceans are measurably more acidic than they were 100 years ago by about 30%, caused by carbon going into the water and building up as carbonic acid." Now, these are all things to pay attention to. There are things to be alert to. Events and phenomena which point to change and the ends of ages. And this brings us to this morning's reading from chapter 13 of Mark's Gospel. This passage is often called the Olivet Discourse because it begins at Mark 13, verse 3, with Jesus sitting down to teach his disciples from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley, exactly opposite to the temple. Biblical scholar and Australian Anglican Bishop Paul Barnett identifies two themes in the Olivet Discourse. The first is the destruction of the temple in the immediate future, that is, in the lifetime of his disciples. The second theme is the coming of the Son of Man in the remote future, that is, at a time known only to the Father. Now, it's natural for us to wonder what the relationship is between these two themes, the destruction of the temple and the second coming of Christ. Well, both events are preceded by a sign. The sign that precedes the destruction of the temple will be, as Jesus prophesies, the desecration of the temple. And Jesus' prophecy will happen in history. There will be a horrific Jewish and Roman war in AD 66 through 70. In AD 69, there will be four Roman emperors, and each will come to power through bloodshed. Their names were Nero, Otho, Vitalis, and Vespasian. On August the 30th, AD 70, the adopted son of Emperor Vespasian, the Roman general Titus, entered the Holy of Holies with his officers. This is the Holy of Holies of the temple, which was entered only once a year by the high priest. According to Jewish historian Josephus, Roman battle standards were brought in and sacrifices were offered to them. Then began the systematic destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Thousands of Jews were crucified. This was referred to in prophecy by Jesus in Mark 13, verse 14, as the abomination of desolation. And so the desecration of the temple on August 30th, AD 70, was the sign that the temple was about to be destroyed, and that the age of the temple was coming to an end. But the destruction of the temple was in turn the sign of the second coming of Jesus. In other words, the first event was a sign of the second event. Now, Jesus' prophecy of the parousia took place almost two millennia ago. And it's not surprising that after those 2,000 years, some doubt his return. And I know that sometimes I wonder why it has to take so long, or what seems long to me. But when we are tempted to doubt, we would do well to remember that the sign of his coming, the destruction of the temple, took place exactly as he said it would. and remember his other prophecies. Prophecies that he would die on a cross, that he would be raised on the third day, that he would ascend into heaven, that the Holy Spirit would be given to his people, that his followers would experience persecution, that the good news of his message would be taken throughout the world. All of these prophecies have been fulfilled in history. Only the prophecy of his second coming awaits historical fulfillment. And this should be a source of deep, deep comfort for all of us. For Christ keeps his promises. Christ keeps his promises. And the promise of his second coming assures us that our lives and the life of the universe has a direction and a purpose. Without a sense of purpose, we can be tempted to despair. But the knowledge that our destinies and the destiny of the universe is in God's hands fills us with hope. Such hope gives us the courage and the will to work for peace, to work for justice, to work for the proper use of creation, and most of all, for the coming of Christ's kingdom, so that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. This Advent, as we wait for Christmas and the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we also wait for his second coming to judge and redeem the world. And on that last day, known only to the Father in heaven, earth and all creation, including us who have been made in God's image, will be made new. The heavens, the earth, all creation, all will be made new in God's eternity of love. And Jesus has promised that. And that is worth waiting for. Thanks be to God.